Well, last week, Susie ministered a powerful message by the Holy Spirit. And it was a message about the early church gathering as a congregation and from house to house. And I believe that it really struck a nerve in people in some different things she talked about accountability and, you know, confessing our sins one to another. Talked about important relationships in our lives and the Pauls and the Paulines, the Barnabases and the Barbies, the Timothys and the Timotheas. And she started a class, she and others are going to do it, on mentoring and discipling that we're doing back for School for Life. And I really want to encourage you. I think everybody that hasn't completed Abundant Life, you need to be in that session and make it a point to go, because I really think it's important of this one accord that we're talking about, one heart. And I believe this is all part of it. And so the Lord's been speaking to us. He's been directing us. And so if you didn't listen to that message from last week, go online and get it, or get it from the Resource Center. Or maybe Susie will preach it again after service today. I don't know. But there's some things about doing life that we need to understand. There's secrets to doing life together. And we have to understand those secrets. And you have to understand that God's got a part and we've got a part. And you've got to know, understand both parts. And so let's talk about God's part about doing life together. Turn over to John 3:16. Hopefully that's one of those verses that you have memorized and you can probably quote, but let's turn there. Should have it marked in your Bible. Y'all still have Bibles? Carry them every once in a while? That's one that I have starred and highlighted and circled and, you know, all kind of marks by, because it's one of those verses that just ministers to me every time I look at it or think about it or quote it. So John 3:16, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. Everybody say, God so loved the world.
God so loved the world.
How about saying this? God so loved me. For God so loved the world. Thank you. You know, it's one thing to say, I love you. It's another thing to act on that love. You know, talk can be cheap. We can say things when we're wanting certain things. You know, but doing and backing up those words. That's the thing about God, is He backs up His word. So He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you got to look at what He gave. He gave His best. So whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you to have everlasting life. He wants you to have eternal life with Him. Of what she says in Ephesians, that He's going to pour out His kindness and His generosity for all of eternity. So that's a good thing. He doesn't want you to perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He's not wanting to condemn you. He's not trying to make you feel bad. Not, you know, trying to get on your case. He's not mad at you. He's not trying to get you. He's not trying to take from you. He's not trying to destroy you. So you have to know the Bible, because John 10:10 says, all those things are the enemy. Stealing, killing, and destroying are not the earmarks of God. They are the earmarks of the enemy. And many in the church have gotten this wrong and got it all mixed up. And they don't really know. Even though this verse has been preached in so many places, the revelation of it, preaching it and having it revealed and understanding it are two different things. And we want a revelation of this. But look at what the words say. He so loved us that He gave. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him would be saved. He's in the saving business. Because we need to be saved. Not only when we're born again, but we have all kind of opportunities in our lives where we need saving. I don't care how good you are and how well you know the Word. All of us, we still need saving. We still need Jesus. So God gave His best, and so I just want you to know that part of this doing life together, you know, and God's part is He's into sharing. He's into sharing things. Now, I looked up the definition to sharing, and it's good. just the different aspects of sharing. It means to divide and distribute. So that what you have, you divide it, you distribute it. It means to partake or enjoy experiences with others. It means to have things in common. And then it means to tell your thoughts and your feelings or your experiences to others. That's all about sharing. And God has given us the example of sharing. The ultimate example of sharing is giving His Son for us so that we could live. And you know, He did that before we loved Him. He did that while we were still sinners. He did that for the people that killed His Son. What did Jesus say on the cross? You know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, that's just, how do you even understand that? How can you do that? But that's just God's great love, God's goodness for us. So He's into sharing. He's into distributing. He's into blessing people. That continues. Let's look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. One of my top 100 scriptures here that I love so much here. I've got a lot of them, but this is in the top 100. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, He didn't spare anything. Did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He's not holding back. And the devil will lie to you, and people will lie to you, and say that he will hold back because of all these various reasons. But He's not holding back, because if He wouldn't hold back, He shared His Son. Everything else is beneath that. So He's into sharing. He's not wanting to withhold it. He doesn't want it for Himself. He wants to share it with His kids. And that's our example. Now let's look over at Ephesians 3, verse 15. See, Paul had revelation from the Holy Spirit about God's love. The disciples experienced it by walking with Jesus, but Paul had it revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And he had a revelation. He brought this revelation to the body of Christ of who we are in Christ, of what it means to be in Christ. But he also had a great revelation. This is the same guy that had Christians killed, took great pleasure in having Christians killed. This is the same guy. The Bible says that he was perfect in the law and keeping the law. So obviously he had a lot of pride about his own self-discipline. You know, an amazing person in the world, I guess. But, you know, God so changed him and his life so changed. It was just a revelation. He began to understand grace. He brought us the revelation of grace and what that means. Jesus introduced it, but Paul is the one that explained it to the believers. In Ephesians 3, verse 15, he's talking about, you know, different, we call them Paul's prayers. But look at what he's saying, and we pray these things, and they're important. That Paul felt the need to pray them. It's certainly something very important to us. But look at the words here in Ephesians 3, verse 15. I'm reading Amplified. It says, "For whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts." Love that. "May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love." People that have experienced love, maybe in their marriages, in their families growing up, there's just something different about them because they have a confidence. They have security and love from others. And I feel for people that didn't have that. And I know many of us, because there's a devil that tries to destroy families and marriages. And so I understand that wasn't the case for many of us here today. You didn't have any security in your parents or maybe brothers and sisters, or and some even haven't had that in marriages. But it doesn't mean that you can't be secure in love, because we can get a revelation of God's love. And that can change even the hardest and the most beat up amongst us, the most hurt. That transforming love can change us. May you be rooted deep in love and found secure in love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, an experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Wow. That's one of our prayers. That's one of our prayers for each other. We should be praying that for the church and be expecting that to manifest. But imagine, you know, what could happen in the body of believers to have this kind of revelation. So the first part of doing life together is there's got to be a revelation of God's love. You can't do life together without God there. And so you know, it's got to be there, that revelation. And you can't have a marriage, a strong marriage, without a revelation of God's love. You can't be the kind of father and mother that God wants you to be without a revelation of God's love for you. You can't be the kind of friend to a brother and sister in Christ, or even to those in the world. You can't be a friend to them without a revelation of God's love. And God wants so many things. He's sharing so many things with His kids. He's sharing, of course, eternal life. He's sharing His very life. John 10:10 says Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And that word life in the Greek is the word zoe. It means the life of God. He came to give to us His very life. Now this is going to take a revelation, because how does we have the God's life in us? Then, you know, He came to give us His Spirit, that the Spirit of God will come and live in a person. The Spirit of God can come and live in you. God Himself, the Creator of the universe, can come and live on the inside of us. Woo! Some of you are like, look at me like, whoop-de-doo. Big deal. Heard that before. Well, I pray you get a revelation of it. Because you get a revelation of it, it'll change your life. And that's where the transforming power comes from, is a revelation of God's love. So I'm not going to give up on you. Even though you have that grumpy look on your face, I'm not giving up on you. I'm going to pray those prayers. I'm going to keep on loving you. Some people make it tough to love them. But I'm not one of those guys. I'm not going to give up. I'm in this for the long haul. I've been pastoring 17 years. Married 25 years. 4 kids. Married 25 years. A believer, 30 years. I'm not one of those guys that quits and gives up and draws back. Even when the going, you know, gets tough. I'm not one of those guys that quits and gives up. That's just not who I am. So I'm not going to give up on you. We're going to keep on preaching about God's love. Because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. So we're going to continue to preach it loud and hard and fast that God loves you. And He wants you saved. And He wants you filled with His Spirit. And He wants you to know Him and to experience Him. And He's got an awesome inheritance for you for eternity. But He's got an awesome inheritance for you right here on the earth. And He wants you, and He wants to share it with you, and He wants you to enjoy it. But His kids won't come to the table and eat. So we got to teach people how to go to the table and eat. We got to teach people and train and just stay at it, stay at it, and stay at it until we get it, and then we keep on saying it. We can only love others. This is good here. We can only love others in the degree to which we receive love from our Heavenly Father. Did you get that? Based on the revelation of God's love is the only, that's the amount of love that you can give to others. So it's something that we have to grow in, and something we, you know, for the rest of our lives. And so so this is, you know, I'm talking about doing life together. Then we've got to have patience with people. I don't understand why some people get a greater revelation of God, or why some people grow faster. It's a mystery to me. I don't understand that. But we've got to be patient with people for where they're at, because their spirits are born again, but their souls still need prospering. There's hurt, there's pain, there's life, there's the devil, there's all the world, you know, all these kind of things that mess with the soul. The soul is the battlefield of the, you know, between God and the enemy. But the more you can clean out, and the Word does that, it washes the soul and cleans the soul, the more you're able to clean out that filter, the more you're able to tap in to the life of God that's on the inside of you. And that's why it's important to come to church and different things that we do, because we're trying to wash your, not brainwash. Well, maybe. But strip away the junk from the soul. Strip it away. Strip it away. Be able to receive and see God as He is. So there has to be patience for other people. And that's hard. Because people, they just act unlovely sometimes. People that know better, people that we love and people that we care for, they act up. They show themselves. They try to keep it all in, but sometimes they just can't. And so if we want to do life together, we're going to have some patience for people. Now, I know there are times, and I hate this, but this has happened over the years. There's just sometimes when people are so dysfunctional, it's just difficult to even be together. And that happens. And so every so often, it's just, we just can't even be in a group together with some folks. And I hate that, but that does happen. I don't understand it. I wish it wasn't that way. But on the most part, we're dealing with people at all kind of a continuum of God's love. We're all at different places. So we have to have patience, and you know, we're working out our salvation. So we have to first be able to receive what God is sharing, and then as we receive it and as we grow in it, then we'll grow in sharing with others. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. And Susie read these verses last week. We'll read them again. I've probably read them a lot over the last year. I just want you to know, again, I'm going to be patient with you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anybody here today. I'm not out to get anybody here today. I don't have any of your pictures on my dartboard I'm throwing darts at. Now, when I go to the gym, there's the punching bag there. But I don't have anybody's pictures, but I do kind of like going in there and punching the punching bag. It feels pretty good. I'm not, none of you, but I mean, there's just something about going in there and punching the punchy bag. You ought to try it. That was for free today, so you just... Punching bag sales have just gone up in Augusta. Acts 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. They were doing life together, had all things in common. They were sharing, sold their possessions and goods, and divided them, distributed them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. So they had the big meetings and they had the smaller meetings. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now in that kind of environment, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now I've talked about this before, but I have to go talk about it again. Talk about it until we get it. There's an amazing word here found up in verse 42. It's the word fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. In the Greek, it's the word koinonia. And, you know, when we say fellowship, we have a different thinking of what we think that is. Sometimes we think fellowship is, you know, talking about football or, you know, having a meal together. You know, we say that's fellowship, and it can be. But the actual definition of this word means, it means to share. It means to share. It means to have unity, a close association, partnership, a communion, contributory help, and a brotherhood. It's where individuals come together as one for a common cause greater than themselves. So I could say this, it's a community where people share with each other. But there is a greater purpose. And because God is there, and God's plan, and God's will, I mean, that's the cause. The Great Commission, seeing people saved and disciples being made. But it's a community where people share with each other. People that have been changed by God's love, so much so that they now, in turn, share with people they don't know. They're outside their family and maybe even their close friends. We share with each other. We learn how to share. We practice sharing. And so there was rich sharing going on in the early church, so much so that they sold lands and sold possessions so that others could have. I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, there's just amazing things. And I believe at this church have come to that point, but that's okay. We're growing. We're growing in these things. I would love to stand here and say we're the perfect church. If you find the perfect church, let me know. I'll resign my position and I'll go to church there. But there is no perfect church. There's no perfect church because we have people of all kinds of places. We have you there for one, but we... Or should we say we have me there? How about that? Because we have people there. How about that? But this sharing, what kind of sharing is there? There's at least five different kind of things that we're sharing. And this is all part of doing life together. So whether we're talking about meeting in a congregation or meeting in small groups, there's got to be sharing going on. There's got to be Christ-centered sharing going on. It says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. When Jesus is the center of the group or the church, I mean, He's there, and all that He is there. And His life is there. And it's that life that we're looking for. And it's that life that brings transformation. So one of the first things you share is yourself. And this is maybe some easier for some than others, because based on your personality, you know, maybe based on how you've been hurt or different things that you have. But in order for us to do life together, we're going to have to share ourselves. And sharing ourselves is just not me talking all the time.
That's right.
When you're actually sharing. And some people, they just don't see it. And if I had the guts to say it to them, I'd say, why don't you just shut up and let someone else talk? But But I don't, because I'm Pastor Matt. But they just don't see it because they're needy. And I understand that, and so I'm patient. That's why I don't say it. But part of sharing is listening. Communication. Did that just go on the radio? Communication is sharing of yourself, but then it's also listening and trying to understand the other person. And that's part of doing life together. So any small groups that we're doing, that needs to be part of it. It's sharing of ourselves. It's sharing our testimony. It's sharing our story. Hearing people's stories. There's so many cool stories in here of what God has done. How many transformations God has done within this group. And to share those things, it's powerful. Whether you're sharing it or whether you're listening. You share in the care for each other. That's what they're talking about in the early church. They had all things in common. Is you're looking out, if your brother's hurting, your brother has a need. And again, it's important that this be led by the Spirit, because there are con men and women out there. Who's been conned before? I have. Oh, we had, early in the church, it was hilarious. We would have people, and I'm a new pastor, I'm just wanting to bless people, and we had one guy come in, he wasn't a part of the church, he came in and asked for some money, and I gave him some money. And then he walked back out to his car, and because of the church, we had the storefront window, and I just happened to walk out in the auditorium and could see the windows. He walked out to his car, there was another guy waiting in the car, he got out of the car, he came into the church. And I know what they were saying when he got, well, we got us a good one here. This guy's a sucker. We blessed people with vehicles that have gone, and the minute they got those vehicles, they went to the place where they get drugs and got drugs. And so I enabled someone to do drugs. So it's a fine line. It's difficult. This is all we learn, we grow, we make mistakes, but it's Spirit-led. But in an environment where we're sharing with each other, someone's in the hospital, someone's lost a job, someone going through, sharing, being a blessing, being a help. Sharing of our resources, gifts, time, treasure. And that's one of the things we want to do with our small groups, is we want to give more people here that have been with us for a little while and trained in these things to be able to share more the gifts that are in them. And I want to see that happening more in the church. Just the gifts coming out in people. But gifts, time, and treasure. But this is, the next two that I'm going to read, is what makes Good News Church different than many churches. And this is a hard one, because this would be a reason why people wouldn't come here. But I'm okay with that. I used to be a lot into the numbers. Again, pastors, attendance, building, cash, the ABCs of ministry. Attendance, building, and cash. You just look at those things. Get your eyes fixated on those things, because that's, it gets to be just like the world, the bigger, the better, all these different things. So you're looking at all those things. But I've just gotten so, I'm set free from that.
Praise God.
I can just enjoy pastoring and enjoy being in church, because I'm set free from that. But one of the messages that we hear, because we've got a mandate from God to empower people to give life. So it's not the Bless Me Club. It's not about me just being blessed, and I want that for you, but it's about being blessed to be a blessing. We're empowering you to do something. Now, will we be patient? If you come in here, you're hurting, you've been beat up, sure, we're going to give you time, whatever time you need. But there needs to come a time in the transition when we stop thinking about ourselves all the time. The way out of the mess for so many people is to start giving. Sid, you just talked about it. But they just keep on looking as me, 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 give to me, 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 me. Well, that will work for a while here, but over the long term, that's just not going to fit with our culture. Because of our mandate to empower people to give life. Because we take these next two parts about what we're supposed to share very seriously here. Sharing in the responsibility for the lost and for hurting people. I'm trying to get as many people here at Good News Church to share in that so that it's just not me having that responsibility. That everybody, we share as a church in reaching people, in giving life, in ministering to people. I want to see a church full of ministers. I want to see a church full of ministers of reconciliation. I want to see a church full of ambassadors for Christ. And again, I'm going to be patient with you. But it is frustrating as a pastor. One of my big frustrations is that people that know better, still, after all these years, they still don't get. And I take responsibility. I'm obviously not communicating it well enough. But they've been here for year after year, and they still don't know the church is not about me. And those are the people, I mean, I have to just hold myself back from getting both barrels and just blasting them. Facebook, emails, letters, showing up at their house. But I've 17 years, I walk in that fruit of the Spirit, self-control. People, when they leave the church, they can write me this long letter of all the things I'm doing wrong and how ugly you are and blah, 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 blah. But I can't write that letter. First of all, it'll end up on Facebook. So go ahead, write me the letter. That's fine. I won't write one back to you. Even though I want to. But we, trying to get what we're doing is we're trying to get people to take a responsibility. We look at church, these big meetings we have, as practice for the game. The game is not in here. The game is out there. And we want you equipped and ready to go out there and deal with all the junk out there. And in the midst of all the hell you go through, that you're still a life giver. But then this next one, share in the responsibilities to help others grow in the faith. Now I know this, you know, we talked about those three types of relationship, Paul, Barnabas, Timothy. And I know we're all growing. But that we take responsibility for the weaker. And to mentor and to coach, it takes a lot of patience. It is the hard way to go. But the most successful sports teams are the teams that can do this. And they look at it along. Even though they may have some losing seasons, they know they're going somewhere. And so I know here, we're going somewhere. But when we start having the people that have poured into us, we say, and the Lord brings others in our lives, we start pouring into them. And that's the beauty of small groups, because it's difficult for that to happen in these large meetings. But in the small groups, you can really let your hair down. You're in someone's home. You're sharing a meal together. I mean, that's all intimate stuff. And it just seems like you can share more if they're done right in that kind of environment. If it's a trusting, safe environment. We had yesterday the Mighty Men meeting. We had 11 of us show up. And we came in there, and I was a little late, but came in there, and they had biscuits and gravy. Gina Turner made some awesome gravy. I mean, it was the best biscuits and gravy I've ever had. I don't know if I was just in that mood or I was really hungry. I don't know what it was, but it was like from heaven. Had me my cup of coffee, had me some orange juice, talking to the guys. It was awesome. But then we started the meeting, and it was just so simple what we did. It was ridiculous. Rick shared the scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, this is the scripture, let's just talk about it. And you know, and I'm sure someone, I got to talk. You're supposed to talk. This is what we do. I come and you listen. You know, I listen. You talk, I listen. But he just opened it up. And I tell you, guys began to share about what that verse, what it practically meant in their lives. I am purpose. I mean, I can preach for 2 hours on Philippians 4:13. It's one of my, well, it's in the top 50. I mean, that is I'm a can-do person through Christ, you know. But I mean, people start, so on purpose, I didn't share. I didn't even say anything. But I just sat there and listened to the other men that were there. And I tell you, I walked out of that meeting so nourished. I walked out of that meeting so encouraged. Just refreshed. 7:30 in the morning. On Saturday morning when we're going to sleep in. I had to make myself get out of bed and go. But I'm so glad I did. Because of what happened. See, that's what happens when we get together. Because life is in you. Life is in you. Life is in you. And even though we can all be feeling low, when we come in there and we start sharing life, God's life, it just comes in there. And it strengthens us. And it energizes us. Then we're ready to go out there and face whatever we got to face. Do you see why the devil wants to fight everything about us getting together? He fights everything about coming in one accord. That's why church is a battle. When we start these new small groups, it's going to be a battle in some ways. But I'm committed to the vision. Because we have got to do life together if we want to go where God is taking us. Which I believe is worldwide. If we're going to have, you know, 1 million believers that are going to reach 100 million people, we've got to have some people that know how to do life together. And we've got to have some mentoring, and we've got to have some coaching, and we've got to have some discipling going on in order for this to work. And so small groups are going to be an awesome way for these relationships to be formed and to grow. So, sharing. Well, here's a good question now. And then you may be asking, sitting here, you're thinking this maybe. I don't know if I can share like that. I just don't know if I have it in me to be able to share like what you're saying. Can I share like that? Well, I'll tell you absolutely. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. And this is a verse you need to meditate on. Whew, God's good. Philippians 2, verse 13, amplified. Not in your own strength. You can't share like this in your own strength. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. If you'll open yourself to Him and you receive His love, He'll empower you to love. He'll empower you to share. He'll empower you to give life. Woo! He's that good. He'll empower you to do it. He'll help you to do it. Well, you may be ignorant. I don't know how to do it. I've messed up so many times. He'll empower you. Then we'll have people around that will help us to do it. And we'll see it and it'll be demonstrated. I've got a vision. I've got a dream. I've got a dream and a vision that we can do life together. I've got a dream that we can do life together where God's at the center. Where His Spirit will enable us. And will we make mistakes? Will we mess up? Sure we will. But that's where we got forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness. Patience, He'll enable us to be patient. I've had supernatural patience in my life. I mean, it's just like the gift of faith, the gift of patience. It's like a force, just it's like beating in my heart. It's just, wow. I'm sitting there thinking, man, you're patient. It's like I'm standing out, looking at myself. Boy, that guy is patient. I admire that. Grace comes on us to do things we can't do in our own ability. God's grace was there in the mighty men. And people were sharing some awesome things. They were sharing some hurts. They were real. They were open. But life was being given. And so I can see the power of that happening all over Augusta or all over this area. Now, real quick, let's look at the result of God sharing and getting a revelation of that, so much so that we start sharing. Let's look at the result over in Ephesians chapter 4. And Susie and I were talking about this last night, and we saw something that, you know, we hadn't quite seen it that way. And this can give us a vision of where we're going. Ephesians 4, I won't read all this, but let's look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which every part does its share, sharing causes growth. See, that sharing, you receive sharing from God, you receive His gifts, they work in us, they flow back out. That sharing causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. But it uses the word knit. Or maybe a joint. You know, if you were to, and don't, but I mean, if you were to slice my arm right here, there's a lot of things connected between the two parts. I mean, how are you going to put that thing back together? It's so intertwined. When you knit, I'm not a knitter, but my daughter knits, and I've watched her knit, and it's amazing. She takes this yarn, and she, through the magic of whatever she does, and she puts them together, and then they become knitted together. That's what God wants to do in this body. Can we do it on our own? No, we can't. He's the one that knits us together. God does that. But we open ourselves to Him. And so again, I have a dream. I feel like Martin Luther King. I have a dream. And some days you're just so frustrated because it just seems like the dream is not coming to pass. But that's when you just talk to God. And He shares and He encourages. Or you talk to your brothers, sisters in Christ. They encourage you. They don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on going. It's going to happen. The vision's going to come to pass. But what a vision. If we looked at mighty men and we looked at it, we were knit together. We talked about the band of brothers. Band of brothers. We've got a common cause. He's joined us. And when he joins us together, it's for a purpose. It's something greater than ourselves. But as we get to know each other and we begin to trust each other, and then we do life together and we give life to, you know, iron sharpens iron. But then these relationships, you know, Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, those kind of relationships form. Do you see what God's doing? You see how powerful this could be when it's working the way God intends? The enemy's going to fight it. He's going to do all he can to fight it. But thank God we've been given authority over him. So he will empower, and then I'll read this in verse 16, we'll close this. Verse 16, New Living Translation says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes the whole body fit together. Now, we've got to cooperate with him. He's a gentleman. He's not going to just do that against our will. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Oh, I love that. Perfectly. There you go. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, not dysfunctional. The whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And when you're full of love, you're going to add to the church daily. When you're full of love, you're going to have people growing in the things of Christ. When you're full of love, you're going to have a church full of ministers that are going out there and giving life. When you're full of love, you're going to go out and share love with others. Because you just can't help yourself. It just overflows. It just, you cannot even stop it. You try to, you can't. It just comes out because that is who you are. You're a child of God. You're His son and daughter. You have His nature. His love is in you. And he's just demonstrated, it just comes out. And then when that love comes out, it changes the world. It changes the world. It changes your world. It changes your family. It changes your marriage. It changes what happens on your job. Is anybody getting anything out of it? You're all looking at me like. I don't know what Pastor Matt, I mean, what's he been smoking or what's he been drinking or. I had coffee today. I had my Kashi, the breakfast of champions. I'm excited about this, y'all. We're going to do it together. We don't have it all figured out about these groups. We're talking about them. But we're going to do it together. We're going somewhere. Come along with us. Even the most skeptical, the most hardened. I've been here year after year. And we've tried all those things. And this is just another thing. And we'll ride through this one. And well, I mean, if that's your attitude, that's fine. But we're going somewhere. Come on. Come on with us. Get your, you know, foot out there and get your feet wet. Just step in there. Take a risk. Be bold. Some of you are going to be bold and step out and lead a group. Some of you sitting here today saying right now, I will never lead a group. You'll be leading a group. You will lead it and you will like it. And some of you are sitting here thinking, I ain't going to be part of no group. I'm not going to go, some of the men, I'm not going to go there and share my feelings. Oh, yes, you are. Because I'm tired of you just talking about football. There's more to you than Gamecocks, Bulldogs, Gators, and what other animals out there. I'm being bold because I'm talking about football.